Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast. At the leading of the Lord, primarily, and in view of some recent attacks of the enemy against the body of Christ, which I've heard about, we are rerunning our older radio broadcast on the power and application of the blood of Jesus. My radio broadcast, our CDs, DVDs, and my book, The Blood and the Glory, were the result of the Lord speaking to me and giving me revelation on the power in His blood and how to walk in the protection of the blood of Jesus. Please listen.
I know because the Lord has shown me about the glorious church. You could take a baseball bat and you couldn't beat it out of me. I don't care how many preachers fall. I don't care who backslides and how many churches split. You couldn't beat it out of me with a baseball bat that this church is going home in glory, and that before we leave, we're going to leave a glorious testimony and manifestation of Jesus to this earth. I see it. Glory be to God. In the Old Testament, the glory of God, the presence of God, was kept behind the curtain, a 4-inch thick curtain, and the high priest went there once a year, not without blood. Blood on his ear, blood on his thumb, blood on his toe. When God was showing me the fall of Adam, I saw that Satan thought that he had separated Adam from God forever because he knew that he'd made Adam sin and God was glory and that sin couldn't come into the presence of the glory. Once God gave me a vision about it, he said, this was my position in the fall. He said, what if you couldn't hug your son Terry? And I saw my son, you know, standing there. And I love to hug my children. I'm a hugging mother. And I felt the pathos of not being able to put my... For he said if you hugged him, you would destroy him. You would burn him up. He said that was my position in the fall. Man was fallen and I was here. And it's the reaction of every father to lift a fallen son to his bosom. But what if I couldn't... If I had done that, God said, I would have destroyed mankind. My word would have been broken. I'd said man would have dominion over all the earth. He said that was my position in the fall. God, a great gulf. Hallelujah. And the fallen man. Bless the Lord. Satan, so frightened of the glory of God because he knows. And that's what the word came in January. He was so frightened of that glory. He was so frightened of the great big glory of God in our midst that he tempted us to the one thing that holds back the glory, sin. And the only way it holds it back is God's love. God so loves us that he withholds his glory. And in the word it said that Satan tempted us to sin, and I saw, like, great sins that you might know about, this sin or that sin, adultery or whatever. But I saw that the greatest sin that Satan had tempted the body of Christ to was the sin of not loving one another. What we've done to each other. And hallelujah, glory be to God. Thank God he rescued me from that thought. And the next thought that came was, but now is the time and nothing's going to hold back the glory. The time has come and nothing is going to hold back the glory. Now, at the very same time that I saw all this glory, and I know this and I hear this and I sense it in my spirit, at the very same time I saw this, I have seen attacks from Satan like I've never seen in my born days. We were getting ready to have a meeting with the Casemans. And Jim Caseman, we've been very close in ministry with him for years, going to Russia and that part of the world. We were getting ready to have a meeting that we had 10 years ago and more. We had a series of meetings called Women of the Word, and then we left off having them about 8 years ago. And now we were going to have another one. And just before we had that meeting, just 2 days before, Kathy Caseman's little 13-year-old niece was walking across the floor. Someone had stretched an electrical cord. She fell across the electrical cord and she died. So Kathy had to go to the funeral, you know, and then the next day we had the meeting. And I saw, like, shots from the wild blue. I'll tell you something else. 10 years ago, we had a particularly glorious meeting at the very same place. That girl's 14-year-old sister had dropped dead suddenly. And Then I saw wild things. I saw brethren who have believed the same truth of the gospel, preached the same word. I saw them break with one another, fall out. For 25 years, they preached the same things. And you know, we used to think, now, well, we'll get in the unity of the doctrine and then this and that. But there it happened. And I saw in my own children attacks that were not, my children didn't do it, but attacks came against them, terrible attacks. And when you hurt somebody's baby, you done touch their heart. You know what I mean? Well, really their flesh too. So mama had to fight to keep from getting in the flesh once or twice. But I got it straight before I went to bed that night. But I noticed these things. Now, I had noticed this in my family many years ago when my sister died, my husband died like this. So I went all this together. I went to God. There's only one place to find out real answers, and that's God. I said, what is this, Lord? He said, what did I tell you in the Word this is? Oh, yeah, the Word. He said, what did I tell you that the devil would do in the last days? So I turned to where I knew right where it was, Revelation chapter 12. The devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that he hath but a short time. The devil knows about time. When Jesus was on the earth, the demon said to Jesus, did you come to torment us before the time? This happens to be the Greek word kairos, and it means a set time, a fixed time. There is a set date, folks, that Adam's lease runs out. Without going into a great deal of teaching tonight, when God worked on this earth since Adam, he set Adam on the earth during a time when he was reworking the earth, really, and he recreated it in 6 days. Then he turned to Adam and he gave Adam a work week. He said, let's see what you can do with it in a week, a 6-day week. And he handed the authority over to Adam. 1,000 years being a day, and a day being 1,000 years, then Adam had about approximately a 6,000-year work week. But Satan came and tempted Adam, and Adam handed the dominion on the earth to Satan, and Satan then took a... God gave Adam a lease on earth, and he gave a sublease to Satan. Satan knows the date Adam's lease is up. This book is legal. Everything is legal about this word, and God does not work illegally. He always works according to the law. He does not just usurp and do like Satan does. So he gave the authority to Adam, but when Adam's work week is up on that, when Adam's lease is up on that fixed date, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. We're not going to have to put up with Satan here any 1 hour longer than he's supposed to be here. You know when your lease is up, and he knows when his lease is up. There is a moed. There's a fixed date. I learned a lot about moeds. I used to think it was kind of arbitrary when the church did this and that. No, it's not. When I went to Israel and I studied Judaism and I studied Hebrew, I found out God works with moeds, fixed appointed dates. And we have a series of tapes back there on that. Hallelujah. That would just thrill you when you see in the Bible what happened on the same dates. It's amazing. The law was given at Sinai on the same date that the Holy Ghost came, bless the Lord. Most people know that, but there's some other things in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Satan knows his time's about up. And when he sees that, as he gets closer, 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 he's furious. Aha, so that's it, Lord. Now he said, back up a little few verses. So I backed up to verse 10. At the end of verse 10, it calls him the accuser of our brethren. We know God by how the Word reveals him to us. We know the enemy by how the Word reveals him to us. It calls him a thief, it calls him a robber, a murderer, and it calls him an accuser of the brethren. That's why you don't ever want to be an accuser of the brethren, because you will be siding with Satan. He is called the accuser of the brethren, and it says, the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. He never shuts up. But, glory to be to God, they overcame him. Not a hint that he overcame them. Now, this is speaking of a particular group of people right here, but it also is applicable to us. He is fully, totally overcomable by the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. He is powerless against the blood of Jesus Christ. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to the death. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about pleading the blood. What does it mean, pleading the blood? Is it old-fashioned? Does it mean beg? Certainly not. And tomorrow night, we're going to study about the legalities and where it is in the Word of God. There are so many scriptures that I won't even be able to give them all to you. But that blood, we overcome him, and the Lord showed me through some study that the testimony that we make to overcome him, at least a part of it is the power of the blood. The using of the blood with your mouth. Faith in the blood. Hallelujah. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so then the Lord had some books fall into my lap and he began to talk to me and he said, I want you to teach people. I want you to do it yourself. And I want you to teach people about the blood of Jesus and about its efficacy in your life. How to use it. What to do about it. How it is a protection. How it is a line, a bloodline. The old timers, in Brother Hagin's new book, The Triumphant Church, there's a chapter in it, which I will bring and probably read tomorrow night, which says, the early days in this century, the old timers knew more about the blood and how to use it than we seem to. And he gave the case and the story of a missionary and a great victory, and I'll bring that and read that to you tomorrow night. And so I began to read some of the books by the old-timers to find out what they knew and how they used it. I'm talking about 1904 and 1908, not talking about 1950s and 60s, and though some people still know about it up until that time. And so I learned a lot of things. Brother Hagin had taught us years ago to plead the blood. He said, you say it like this, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus. And so I did it in my life. I always do it in my car. I've done it in my car every day. I just had a little car, a little white car, and I drove that car for 100,000 miles. And every time I ever got in that car, I never had to take it to the shop for one thing wrong with it. Not never, ever once. And now I have a little red car. It's the same thing. But I always say when I get in my car, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over this car, bumper to bumper, side to side, top to bottom, and every working part. No one will bump me, and I will bump no one. I have never bumped anybody in that little white car, and nobody ever bumped me. I wish you would turn the tape off. There's one thing I'm trying to get victory over in my life. I drive too fast. Now you can turn the tape back on.
You've been listening to the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. If you would like to purchase this teaching, call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. Or log on at billybrim.org. That's B-I-L-L-Y-E. BRIM.org or write us at P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri 65615. That's P.O. Box 40, Branson, Missouri 65615. This is Chip Brim saying Shalom, and remember, in all you do in word or deed, do to the glory of God.